Blog Talk Radio.
Call me my better friend from Chattanooga.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's...
Mike P is always a man of few words. Very distinctive, clear words.
That's correct.
He always got a nice message. You don't have to wonder, what does he really mean, you know?
Yeah.
And that message is what?
Fuck him.
Well, that's indeed. Good evening, Phil. Good evening, everybody out there tonight. Well, we got over the Sam Crow show last night. We had a very interesting guest last night, Dimitri. And I forgot, I can't say his last name. I forgot a lovely sister named Taylor.
Right.
We had some good speakers in. He had a surprise visitor, a guy he hadn't talked to in 20 years or so.
No, longer than that.
30 years, maybe.
Yeah, when they were kids.
Yeah. I hope you guys caught that. And don't forget now, the 10th is the first night of Sons of Anarchy. So they'll make the 11th the first time of the official, the show's open, we're open, everything's going to be wide going. But tonight we're back to bikers' rights. We're talking about veterans' rights. We're talking about dealing with the police. How you can make your neighborhood safer. That's something I got to read. You got anything going on? Can I jump ahead of you?
Go ahead.
Okay, this came to me. I was reading a book on World War II. And I took this out of a book by an author named Bill Malden. And he's talking about veterans returning home. And he said, they don't need pity. Because you don't pity brave men. Men who are brave because they fight while they're scared to death. They simply need bosses who will give them a little time to adjust their minds and their hands, and women who are faithful to them, and friends and families who stay by them until they are the same guys who left years ago. No set of laws or Bill of Rights for returning veterans of combat can do that job. Only their own people can do it. So it is very important that we people know and understand combat men and women. World War II and nothing changed. Nothing changed at all. That was very nice. I like that was put there. We still have men coming back trying to adjust and having a hard time. You feel like a little surprise coming your way?
Go for it. What is it?
There's a motorcycle club called the Expendables.
Yeah,
they're all cops.
I saw that.
They want to do a bike run out of the shop. Did you see that?
And what'd you say?
They're all veterans.
Wait, there's no police officers,
but they're all provost. What do you call them? Military police. They want to do a big major event on here and give the money to the paralyzed veterans or the Wounded Warrior Foundation. I guess it is. We've never said
have
no to a veteran.
Have you investigated this?
Yes, I have.
Thoroughly.
Yes, I have. Thoroughly. I've got a list here.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Are any of these guys one of the three battalions that got trained to be police on the outside against civilians?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you did. I told you they've been training three battalions out there for months now. But like riot police. But like
in case of national disaster or something, they can come in.
In what national disaster? In case
riots, who knows?
Nah.
Earthquake.
No. They're not for that. They're for uprising.
Uprising?
Mm-hmm.
We make too much money in America to be uprising.
They're training fucking Chinese guys out there, too.
No, you never told me about Chinese.
Yes, I did. I told you when they had that big fucking thing over here. They had Japan over here. They had China.
I heard Japan. I didn't pay attention to China.
They had Denmark. They had Europe. They had British. They had Australia.
International.
Everybody here.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll need you to say a few words, okay?
I don't mind saying a few words, but got to be on the up and up, though.
All of once in the Wounded Warriors, blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
blah, blah, blah,
we've heard that one, too, with those guys.
Yeah. Well, not with Expendables. We never.
I want to see the book.
They've never done a run anywhere yet.
So. Are they a 501?
Yes, they are. They said. No. All the permits, the gear they need, they've got set up officially.
How do you get the permits?
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. They're not going to do any permits because it's not run at my shop. It starts at my shop. They contacted this place called in Escondido, a restaurant. They've contacted Escondido, whatever out there. So it's okay for them to put that on there because they're going to be inside the restaurant, not outside the street. Therefore, they didn't need the permits for that.
All right, Ryan.
I'll look you up with them, and you.
Ryan
can
says he's still
go.
Jacked up, but. It sounds like his head's in a fish tank. Well, I hope he feels better.
Oh, wow. Is that him talking now?
No, that's Nora. That's Nora. She's probably rolling a joint or washing dishes or one or the other.
I don't smoke pot. I'm putting away dinner. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
No worries.
Nora.
Yes.
Nora. No, don't go there now.
I gotta go there.
Just say hi. Now.
I gotta go there. What do we have for dinner?
What
do we have for dinner?
We had Italian chicken and penne pasta.
Uh huh.
And then with a salad, of course.
Top it off right there.
You need to come here and eat. You do.
I don't like croutons. I want just.
I don't use croutons.
Good, I don't know.
But I will say this. When I get a chance to see Phil, he's going to bring you back two things for me.
Really?
You're going to have a treat. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah? You know
and
I'm
one
only
you
taking
can eat.
I'm only taking one bag.
We'll throw you clothes.
That's okay. Double
fit. Mail your clothes.
Double
what do you need about? So did you hear that? Did you remember by any chance an author from World War II? He was also a cartoonist, Bill Malden. He wrote about two GIs, Willie and Joe.
Yes, I do remember that.
That was a book I'd often referred to. I got to read his life story, and I read earlier how he was talking about the soldiers coming back and how they need extra help. They need their women to stay with them. They need the boss to give them a little latitude. Bill of Rights.
Hey, do me a favor. You gotta stop making noise.
Okay. Well, how about if I mute you for a minute, okay?
Okay.
And then I'll unmute you when I'm done. So I just gotta wrap up on Bull, and that's it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
All right.
All right. You can talk.
So just finish up there about. I don't know if anybody else is familiar with this cartoonist from World War II. He always drew two dog faces, two soldiers, and these guys were just been in the mud for a month, and they'd just been hard times. And I found the humor to be very subtle humor. You had to check into it, and you had to read it, and you can understand the humor. It wasn't just like, ha, 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 funny and all that. This is the way people lived, and it was kind of interesting there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay, and I was just talking a little more about Bill Malden. His humor I found to be very subtle, but we could take the World War II soldier, take him out, we put the Vietnam soldier in, we put the Iranian soldier in, and Phil, did you know that Joe, the painter next door to me, his kid's going to go in the military in about 1 week?
Yeah.
No, man, that's maybe not the best time to be going in.
He had no choice.
Problem is, we don't know what's, we're not saying about where he's going to be. He may be going overseas.
Nah, he won't go over there right now. It'll be a while down the road.
Well, I'll tell his daddy that you personally said he won't have to go over there.
No, I didn't say he won't have to go over there. It could be another 10-year deal like this, and at some point before he gets out, he's going to go over there.
I wonder how many more of our sons and daughters will be going in the military in the next couple of months. I wonder how many will be going to Syria. And if it's not going to be Syria, we'll just change the name, make another damn country.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we don't. You know, I have, a view on that. There are Syrian people that do not want us there at all. They want to fight their own fight. It's their own civil war. They don't want us there, you know. And so many people are thinking, well, you're not being patriotic if you're not staying behind the president. Okay, now we have to go back to square one. How many presidents lie to get in the office, for one? And for two, how many of them say they do not want to go to war? Another lie, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we were promised for everyone to come back from the Middle East. Everyone.
Yeah.
They're not all back.
Well, I got to tell you, JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, he said when he was elected, he was going to start immediate withdrawal from Vietnam. Now, in the early days, they were taking them over by ships. Later, they're flying them over. But the first cruise ships, well, not cruise ships, big ships anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so JFK was elected. He passed the order, send those guys home. One ship almost made it to America, and what happened? He was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Lyndon Johnson stepped in. Lyndon Johnson ended bringing the soldiers home. He said, no, we need to keep them there. So we did actually have one president that actually said he's going to do it, and he was sending him home to America, and they assassinated
him. And
he was
murdered, right.
Somebody
That's
did. We'll never
what I
know.
Mean.
Yeah. You know, but in
you know,
all this, we're talking now like adults. When Philip and
exactly.
I were in the military, Philip and I didn't really care where we went. 18, 19-year-old kid doesn't really see the big picture, nor does he really care. So, in one sense, I don't feel so bad because the kids are going over, but being an older person, being a veteran, these kids have got to come back home, and I can realize that. And they're going to have the problems, and when they have the problem, we, the taxpayers, are going to have to pay for all that. So
exactly.
Philip and I are pro-military. But at this point in time, we are both against the war in Syria. I didn't mean to jump in. How do you feel about that? Did I?
You know what?
It ain't even a war. It ain't a damn war.
Well, it ain't even that.
Yeah.
You know what? Take care of your shit home. Take care of shit home first.
All right.
Take care of everything here first.
We got people in Tennessee. We got people in Appalachians. We got people in California. Americans need help.
Yeah, and see, that's what I'm looking at. They need to take care of here first. You know, there's many representatives, senators, and congressmen. I don't know how much you and Phil are aware of it, that they are projecting on their statement of, instead of going to Syria, send military to Chicago because of all the murders, okay? Innocent people get killed here every day, just like in any other state. Okay? Where is the help? You know, there's people losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. You know, they're losing what they know. And like I said, instead of jumping into a civil war that has nothing to do with this, and they're not going to come here anyway. They already did. And parts of together in the Middle East. They've all come here and attacked us in one form or another on our soil. Okay, now it's time to take care of us and let them have their civil war. They're not going to come over here and bomb us. They could care less. They just want us out. But we need help here.
Yeah. I don't think we should help any I'm going to say ragged, but I don't want to be. There's no reason to say that word. So we don't need to solve any.
I'll say it. Fucking ragged.
Man, that's not the word I want to use right now. We need to help any Muslim country if the other Muslim countries around it are not helping them. When we went to Kuwait,
exactly.
Countries looked. We went to Iran. We went to Iraq. Everywhere we've been, the other Muslim countries are going, let's take a look what they're doing. Why are we doing that? We have Muslim countries over there adjacent to each other. If there's something going on, we need to let the Muslims in. I believe that sincerely.
Right.
Never met Muslims. When I was in Tehran, Iran for a year working, they always told me, Bill, you've been here for a year now, and we've taken you to our homes, we've taken you to our weddings, and you've been to the Shah's Palace, and we like you, but please never forget, in case of a dispute, I will back my Arab cousin or my Muslim cousin, who I hate, before I back you as a Christian. I like you. You're always a guest in my house. We love you. You're not a Muslim. Please never forget. Don't put yourself in a position, Bill, to assume that we like you. As a person, you're good. As a Christian, you will never, ever be accepted. Therefore, why are we helping the Muslims out? Just my
exactly.
I don't know,
and look at it. Wasn't even a year ago. Obama sent 300 and something million or billion dollars to Egypt for their military. Come on, wake up.
Yeah,
there's no reason for us to be there, huh?
You're giving too much time to this asshole and his fucking cause. I don't want to hear about it no more, Bill. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
You won't be saying that next week when they draft you back.
Nah, fuck that shit.
I think you guys are too old. I don't know.
Well, thank you, dear.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, I wasn't meaning that in a rude way, but I think because I know, like, during Vietnam, you know.
Phillip's over 60. They won't be calling him back in, I don't think.
You know, I got the perfect thing right here, Bill, and I'm going to post it. I'm going to post it right now.
All right.
It's a little kid, little black kid, talking to a reporter from CNN. So he says there. So you're telling me we're going to bomb Syria for bombing Syrians and fight on the same side as Al Qaeda while we're still fighting Al Qaeda?
Yeah. And one of the kids confused. Maybe all of us Americans are confused. Hey, did you see, change the subject very slight, did you see those new station wagons the cops are running around in?
Yeah, it's like a Ford Explorer.
Yeah, it's kind of a sporty looking deal. I had a cop in front of me.
They had them, they're
and
all,
I picked another one up on Highway 76 coming back in.
Yeah, they're all souped up.
Yeah.
There you got
that E-car. Oh, you should see
the ones here. You know, we do have a problem, though. These new cars they have, and also the old patrol cars, I guess they don't have turn signals, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, because when I'm driving down the road, I see the cop go from lane to lane to lane to lane.
No, but they'll pull you over for that.
And I don't, maybe the turn signal's broken.
No, the next time you all you have to do is get the number off the car, or whatever it is, and give it to me. I like that. Some guy asked me if I'm a real, I guess I should have replied, no, I'm an SOA undercover.
I wonder why do the police set so many bad examples every day, and yet they still wonder why the public doesn't respect them. And that's the word I want, respect. Growing up in Boston, in the all-Irish neighborhood, we know the police officers. We know the fire department guys. I knew the guys that ran the grocery stores because it was one community. We were all together. We had respect for the police officers. Only when I came to California did we just somehow
threw it out the window.
Police don't care.
No.
The cops used to walk up and down the beat, tap on the windows. How's everybody doing?
Not here.
We kids never were afraid of cops. Never. But I don't know why the police don't get back out in the beats and stop in the stores. Stop and say hello to everybody, you know? Maybe find some kid doing wrong and say, where do you live? And take the kid home, talk to his mother for a second.
You met my mom.
Yes.
When I was 12 years old. It was five of us. She dropped us off at the mall.
Yeah.
Okay. We saw this guy who was fucking around with one of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Got him in trouble. Dad gave him a fucking beating of his life. Well, this old prick had a bunch of fucking, he had a big tomato garden in his backyard. So one guy ran up and rang the doorbell. When he came out and was standing on the porch, we threw every fucking tomato we could grab and throw it. Right? We take off our.
Yeah.
We're running to the mall. The fucking cop pulls up, almost hits us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was in August. We're all sweaty and everything. All under arrest. And I said, for what? My mother just dropped us off, and he's like this. And
yeah.
I said, why are you touching me? So they called for a paddy wagon to the Salto police station. My mom walked in and said, they didn't do shit because I just dropped them off the mall. You got the wrong kids. And the guy says, I know your kid did this. My mother said, are you calling me a liar? He And the lieutenant walked by when she said, "Are you calling me a liar?" So he popped his head in. He asked the guy what we asked the guy what he thought we did. He said, "Well, I saw these guys running. They were all sweaty. They were running from the direction where we got that call about the guy getting assaulted with the tomatoes." I said, "I don't even like tomatoes. Mom, give me a fresh one." "Shut up." Needless to say, we all got out of it.
Yeah. And then you got home.
And I got a beat in my
life. Oh, I bet you that was coming. Boy, that was a, yeah. And, yeah.
There's more of that needs to happen today.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with you disciplining your children. I hear people say, "Oh, no, it's wrong to hit them."
I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I got the belt.
Yeah. We had that TV series, Star Trek, and we had that guy, Mr. Spock. Okay. Everything was logical, reasoning, and all that, but we're not that way.
Uh-huh.
Children push our buttons. And when they're out in public, they push our buttons even more. I don't think there's anything wrong with a child knowing, if you do this and you embarrass me in public, I will pretty much beat your ass when I get home.
Correct.
Anyway, and people are going to say, "Oh, Bill, that's wrong. Maybe it is wrong. But I don't think it is really.
It's not
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, one of the tools you should have. Go ahead, please.
It's not wrong. All my dad had to do was give us the look. If we were given the look, oh, boy, it was on. No, we were raised with children shall be seen but not heard. And we knew our place because if we didn't, boy, my father put us in checkmate real quick.
What I'm concerned about is today is if you try to touch the children, they go to school and tell their teacher. And they tell the social worker. And then the police come down. And then your own children are setting you up. During World War II, Hitler had all the children in Germany snitching on their parents. And that's what we're doing today. A child, they can go to school, tell the teacher tells the counselor tells the police. You're going to be called upon.
That's because somebody wrote a textbook on how to raise your children, and you know, it's all by the book now. You know, there's no more trial and error, or do what your mother did, or don't do what your mother did, or try something else that your aunt did. No, none of that exists. You have to follow a book of rules. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I raised, and I'm still raising my boy, but my daughter's 22 years old, and, I mean, she's a good kid. And I just don't understand the way some folks raise their children. And, you know, my daughter will tell you, too, that, you know, they were both raised with know your place. I always said that to them, like when they stepped out of line, I would look at her and I'd be like, "Know your place." I'm like, because, you know, if I'm talking or it's adults or anything that, you know, whatever, that she doesn't belong sticking her two cents in, you know, she needs to know that, no, you know, and kids nowadays, they don't know nothing, not a damn thing. And I mean,
the difference between my father and myself. My father, in a heartbeat, would say, "Because I told you so." When my daughter was in high school, she asked me, "Dad, you don't drink. I know that, but we have alcohol in the house for guests. Did you ever drink? And if so, why?" Now, she's about a sophomore in high school. My daughter and I would try to go down to the library on Saturdays, and I would have her do research on alcohol. And then we would get together, and we'd talk about it. And I said, I was raised at a time when we had people with a cigarette, James Bond, a cigarette in the hand, martini in the other hand, a tuxedo, a beautiful woman. I believe that hype. It's only, I told my daughter Heather, when I got a little bit older and I realized that the alcohol and cigarettes were not what I want out of my life, I quit doing it. So I asked my daughter, "Well, how do you feel about it?" She said, "Well, I can't find anything other than an occasional glass of wine having some medicinal purpose that I don't think I'm going to drink." Now, my daughter's probably 40 years old, and, I'm sure at a party she's tried to drink. I'm not, she's no, you know, saint. But I think that her going to the library and her doing research, then coming up with a reasonable explanation, I think was a lot better than my father ever saying to me, one line, one sentence, "Because I told you so." That used to frustrate me so much. But he was done with the conversation at that point. There was no more discussing it, so...
You know, today, Bill, is the 60th anniversary of the Battle of Iwo Jima.
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say that we honor our Marines who serve.
You know, is Iwo Jima sinking?
I have no idea.
Okay, someone told me.
Volcanic island.
Yeah, someone told me that island actually was sinking, and in another 10 years or so, there won't be hardly anything left to it. I could be wrong on that. I hope to God, you and I have some friends of ours that belong to a motorcycle club, the Sacred Bone Society. These guys raise money, and they send people over to the islands, and they dig up bones, and they bring the bones back to America. I hope that America, if they want to invest some money, invest money in all those foreign countries where we've left our veterans over there. That would make me happy to bring them all home. But America has spent millions on other bull crap, so I don't know. Anyway, anybody doesn't know the Sacred Bone Society, it's a kind of interesting program, military organization, bringing the civilians in. They get together and they raise money and they go to different islands and dig up bones and bring them back to America and have them buried.
Have you seen that video, Bill, about the girl who silenced the world for 5 minutes?
No, what could...
There you go.
I'm sorry. I know I could shut me up for 5 minutes, but go ahead, let me see the video.
The 12-year-old girl that silenced the world for 6 minutes at the United Nations.
Hello, I'm Severin Suzuki, speaking for ECHO, the Environmental Children's Organization. We're a group of 12 and 13-year-olds trying to make a difference. Vanessa Setti, Morgan Geisler, Michelle Quaid, and me. We've raised all the money to come here ourselves, to come 5,000 miles to tell you adults you must change your ways. Coming up here today, I have no hidden agenda. I am fighting for my future. Losing my future is not like losing an election, or a few points on the stock market. I am here to speak for all generations to come. I am here to speak on behalf of the starving children around the world whose cries go unheard. I am here to speak for the countless animals dying across this planet because they have nowhere left to go. I am afraid to go out in the sun now because of the holes in our ozone. I'm afraid to breathe the air because I don't know what chemicals are in it. I used to go fishing in Vancouver, my home, with my dad, until just a few years ago we found the fish full of cancer. And now we hear of animals and plants going extinct, every day vanishing forever. In my life, I have dreamt of seeing the great herds of wild animals, jungles and rainforests, full of birds and butterflies, but now I wonder if they will even exist for my children to see. Did you have to worry of these things when you were my age? All this is happening before our eyes, and yet we act as if we have all the time we want and all the solutions. I'm only a child, and I don't have all the solutions, but I want you to realize neither do you. You don't know how to fix the holes in our ozone layer. You don't know how to bring the salmon back up a dead stream. You don't know how to bring back an animal now extinct. And you can't bring back the forest that went through where there is now a desert. If you don't know how to fix it, please stop breaking it. Here, you need the delegates of your government, business people, organizers, reporters, or politicians, but really, your mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, and all of you are someone's child. I'm only a child, yet I know we are all part of a family, 5 billion strong, in fact, 30 million species strong, and borders and governments will never change that. I'm only a child, yet I know we are all in this together and should act as one single world towards one single goal. In my anger, I am not blind, and and in my fear, I am not afraid of telling the world how I feel. In my country, we make so much waste. We buy and throw away, buy and throw away, and yet northern countries will not share with the needy. Even when we have more than enough, we are afraid to share. We are afraid to let go of some of our wealth. In Canada, we live the privileged life with plenty of food.
Clearer than most of the world, and she writes, she'll get through the world okay, but I don't know about her children and grandchildren. You and I are okay, Philip. We're going to be, our cycle is going to come to an end as everything comes to an end, but what about that little baby grandchild you just had? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe they'll find a cure for something before I die, so she doesn't have to worry about it.
I got a
call to action today. Okay. This is for all the freedom fighters nationwide, Bill. This is an official call to action for immediate distribution. We must get in front of this issue before it's too late. We've all heard us talking about it coming our way. While it's here and it's in our face, mobilize your units. Get your COC and your I regions from every state to contact your legislators today. This is immediate release. Feds to motorcyclists. Pump E15 into your bike or go to jail. The Motorcycle Rights Foundation reports that according to the Environmental Protection Agency, using ethanol blends of 15% ethanol on any vehicle that is not a passenger vehicle will be in direct violation of federal law. The EPA has issued a list of possible plans to mitigate misfueling issues with the recently approved E15 ethanol blends. Prior to E15, the highest blend allowed for mass consumption was E10. The MRF has been informing the EPA that the higher blend will force upon motorcyclists because the remaining fuel in the hose from the previous customer. The EPA then said that a 4-gallon minimum purchase would be everyone. That was rolled back, and an EPA document specifically mentions the work of the motorcycle rights organizations in the event to overturn the mandatory minimum. You had to buy 4 gallons or you're going to jail, Bill. From the EPA, however, groups representing motorcycle owners and lawnmower manufacturers objected to this configuration because their products have gas tanks that are normally 2 gallons or smaller. In response to these concerns, Renewable Fuel Standards developed and proposed a new configuration for EPA approval that retail stations may use as an alternative to currently approved configurations. The solutions provided by the EPA is to label the pumps with attention-getting labels that you're about to pump E15 into your vehicle, or purchase newer blended pumps that carry only about 0.3 gallons of a new pump with a dedicated E15 hose. The The first solution won't work, and the second solution are too expensive. In another recent EPA document, the Renewable Fuel Standard, the EPA states the EPA will propose to use flexibilities in the RFS statute to reduce both the advanced biofuel and total renewable volumes in the forthcoming 2014 Renewable Fuel Standards Volume Requirement Proposal. The EPA also maintains that while ethanol will be the dominating renewable fuel, the marketplace is for them is shrinking fast. In a recent Wall Street Journal piece, the author, U.S. Representative Patrick Meehan, pointed out that the EPA's position on the renewable fuel standard, refusing to take action this year, was too far tipped response to the crisis. Next year may be too late, said Meehan. In order to stop the onslaught of higher ethanol brands, the Motorcycle Riders Foundation asked that you support this important piece of legislation. House Resolution 875 is a bill that would stop the sale of E15 and includes a study on the actual effects on the powertrain of your vehicles. So you can call the Capitol Switchboard at 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, and ask to speak to a member of Congress and ask that they support this important legislation. And that came us from the U.S. Defenders, the national office, and the national president.
You know, this is one of those things we talk about. Well, what can I do? What can I do? Well, we're telling you what you can do right now. Get on the phone and speak to a congressman. Why are we afraid to speak to congressmen and senators? And they're no different than the rest of us. These people need to know what is our concerns. And this ethanol stuff is...
ruins your motor, Bill.
It gets into the seals. It's too much crap.
It ruins your motor. Yeah. Makes your motor fall apart. Eats the seals. Eats the gaskets.
Mm-hmm.
It deteriorates the rubber gaskets.
So we're asking everybody to get a moment here, review what we're talking about, see if you believe he's sincere.
It's on today's blog page.
Please take an opportunity to read that. The phone number's there again. Take the step. Maybe just taking one step will help you get more involved the rest of
you
us.
Why, you can give them that phone number again, Bill.
One more time, and I'd like to say it 100 more times, but it's 202-224-3121. And speak to a member of your Congress. Let them know who you are. Tell them, listen, I'm concerned about this idea. I want you to get on board the program. Now, a lot of times people tell us again, hey, Philip, Bill, I don't know what I can do. Again, we are telling you what to do.
You're off your ass.
If you want to do something, we're telling you how to do it. It's a small thing. It's one phone call. And if you can get a few of your neighbors to call and say, this is not good. We're doing some prevention right now. Preventative maintenance. There we go right there. Stitching time saves nine. Remember that stuff? Yeah. All right, I'm hoping somebody will actually take the time to call in and say what they... I don't know. We have so many great people out there, and sometimes I feel it's only a few of us are doing most of the work. Those of you that are on the border, you're on the fence saying, oh, I'd like to listen, but I'm not sure what we can do. Again, this time we're telling you exactly what you can do. How important is this? This is critical. This is huge. But if you sit back and you say, oh, let the other guy do it, maybe too late.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, we do this all the time, Bill, but our friend there in Colorado with the horses.
Yeah.
Their Iron Horse Run is October 5th of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm pretty sure he's going to call in next week.
Okay.
Remember we told him he had a few weeks to plug this? Nah. Thanks for sending that to me.
Hope anybody gets a chance. If you can't make it, obviously, in person, send him an email. Say hello. Tell him good luck.
And then on Saturday, September 28th, you and I are invited to this. Six Cycles presents the Main Event 3. It's the Custom Bike and Car Show. It's going to be up in San Bernardino.
Fairgrounds, the Orange Show Fairgrounds.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking that I forgot to bring my information on that friend of mine, Grizz and Lefty, are getting married this weekend. Grizz is with the Legacy Vets / Vietnam Vets. Remember them for many, many years. They're getting married, and I gave an email out. I don't have the address or anything, but I hope a few people called up and said to him, congratulations. You and I used to go to weddings and funerals. Now, Philip, we just go to funerals.
Right.
We just don't go to weddings anymore. Everything changes.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we get these, like, our friend Jeff, career information guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking a, he's going to go on a mission to Haiti. You know,
No. What do you mean a mission?
Going on a mission with his group.
No, I know. What is, I didn't know he had a group.
Yeah. Connect to ministries. That's his plan.
He never mentioned that to me. Yeah.
Oh, I knew that.
Well, maybe he's trying to get your immortal soul.
No.
Maybe he thought you need to be saved.
Don't go there with that.
Maybe he thought you need to be saved.
Don't go there with that.
You have that look on your face, you know? Like,
I know, but don't go there with it, with this.
You have that look. So I guess you're not invited to go to Haiti, though?
No.
Okay. Jeff, this is Bill Kennedy speaking. Jeff, stay home. There's so many people here in America who need your help.
This is what happens when you only take a 1 hour nap.
Man, I'm telling you. That's Bill Kennedy right there.
A 1 hour nap.
Oh, my daughter sent me a picture of my grandbaby sitting in her high chair with her dinner, but she ate some, but she passed out while she was eating. But this is what you look like after an hour. 1 hour nap, Bill.
You know I love naps. I love power naps. Likely at the motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Customer Cycles, Oceanside, California. I can go in the back and just take a nap. No one's ever going to know there. I do know that about Jeff. I congratulate Jeff for his challenge. I guess, like I said, challenge going to a far-off country to try to help the people.
Thinking
you save all the fuel and just try to help more Americans. But again,
Jeff can do what he needs to do.
That's right.
I don't hold that against anybody.
No, we don't hold against him.
You know,
it's a good guy.
Just like when you came in here with the Expendables.
You want to be an honorary member of them? I could probably hook that for you.
No.
Maybe get a...
No.
You know,
and I already told you if I was going to go that route, which way I was going.
Uh-huh. I'd get you maybe an honorary badge.
Hey, it's just like, you know, everybody's on my Sam Crow page here, and is it fucking Tuesday yet? Everybody's asking, is it fucking Tuesday yet? I'll share this. I'll post this to my page right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, and then we got a thing with a lawsuit going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, somebody's making pictures out of
bad ideas
in Australia. The guy, remember that guy in Texas?
If you people have got Sons of Anarchy t-shirts, wear them in the house. Do not go outside. You are not a member of a motorcycle gang. Sons of Anarchy are not a real motorcycle gang. It's a made-up thing for TV. Now, if you go buy these shirts and you wear these shirts outside, you're going to run into real motorcycle people that work very hard. They prospected. They work very hard, and they got their patches.
And
you just made a few bucks.
The ones that we're looking at right now, that we had a guy in Texas. Remember, he was selling all the stickers. He was selling all the little shit on the front. He sold a three-piece patch for the back. And people were getting fucked up.
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously fucked up.
We have patch holder friends of ours that really take this offensive.
Yep.
Hopefully the situation is right, and they'll just ask you to take the shirt off. But if you are so lame that you actually have got a bottom and top rocker,
so lame
and
that
the center
the
patch,
one guy, I don't know if you remember when we were at that one event, I think it was the Bikers Against Diabetes, right? And the guy told him, hey, you need to take that off. And the guy says, fuck you, I ain't taking off shit.
Yeah.
And he proceeded to get whooped ass by about 20 fucking people.
Well, some people just don't understand subtle hints. So we're trying to tell you again, all you people that have bought these T-shirts, you want to wear them around the house, that's your prerogative. You're going to wear them outside, you're going to be approached by people who are members of clubs and work very hard through the prospect period to get their patch, which they hold in great esteem. And if you're just putting something on your back or if you're buying soft colors, you don't belong with those people, and they don't want you out in the street.
Hey, Stacy.
Yes.
I'd like to see that picture, that one that says you're hotter than your daughter.
What? What?
I want to see the picture you sent your daughter that she says you're hotter than her best day.
I don't get what you... I'm lost.
I said, when your mom sends you a picture and she's hotter than you on your best day, yeah, that just happened. So Bill and I would like to see that picture.
Oh, my God. Did she really post that? She's just wrong.
Laughing her ass.
She's just wrong.
So you want to see that picture, Bill?
I think that would be, you know...
Yeah, it'd be appropriate. It'd
be appropriate, yeah.
All right, I'll send it to you.
All right. So, boys and girls, if your own family is going to set you up, you know, just go with the program. Just go with
the
program. You know, we're talking about beating our children now. If she's not happy with this picture, she can go home and beat her daughter.
Beat her daughter.
There we go, yeah. Take the belt and beat that child, sir.
But there's a... You know, I got a helmet protest planned.
No.
No.
Yes. And no.
And it's going to be if everything goes right, and I got all the confirmations that from people that said they were going to do this now, on the 21st of September, I'm going to have about 100 bikes, all different makes, models, whatever. Because I don't care as long as you ride.
Yeah.
We're all going to tool around Oceanside because they're going to have a checkpoint, two checkpoints on that Saturday.
Okay.
We're all going to tool around without helmets.
Why don't you pass me the phone? I'll call up Todd Cheney right now, our bail bondsman, get him ready because somebody's going to be... And you know what? I'll keep money on your accounts for you. I'll do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Philip just, you know what? He means well. He honestly does. He sees something wrong, and he wants to do something to make it better. But maybe going to jail won't be so bad for him. If he does go to jail, I'd like everybody, because you can't text him or anything, but maybe we could get a letter-writing campaign going where a lot of our friends can write
you a letter. What, you think I'm going to the big house? You're going to put me in the big house crew now?
Hey, they're going to want to know who the leader is. Leader always gets zapped. And I'll be there with the bail bondsman helping you wherever I can.
But yeah, it's going to be close to 100 guys, Bill.
Bail Bondsman's getting a 2010 or 2011 motorcycle this weekend, Big Bagger. He's telling me he wants to go down to mainland Mexico. I can't see anything.
Put your glasses on.
Put your glasses on. I still can't see nothing. Oh, there was I got the shade out. Well, I think your daughter said the truth here.
Oh my God, you guys are crazy. I'm just sitting out on the back deck. Ain't nothing spectacular about that picture.
Hey, we're the judges here. Just a minute to stopping it right now.
I can see. I just got my glasses today, so it's like I won't take them off.
Yeah, we can tell. But, no, Bill, I got, so far I've got 52 confirmations, because it's not against the law to ride without a helmet, Bill. It's only a fixie ticket.
Right. It's against the law to ride with an illegal helmet.
We also got we also got another one that's going to happen, where we're going to find out where old boy is sitting at, him nuts. He's the one that pulled up next to Rat.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure he'll have a fucking stroke when 50 bikers ride by without helmets.
You people on the East Coast, you just have no idea what you, how boring it is out here. Live with Philip every day. Or should I say live with? Close, we're in that close. Being with Philip every day, we just never know what's going to happen.
Or whose phone, how you ain't got their hand.
Actually, Philip and I were down in Mexico last weekend. It was actually pretty quiet. We didn't, there was about 1,000 people down there. We had just an outstanding time.
Nah, it was more than 1,000.
Well, I can't judge. They said at least about over 1,000. I said that.
Nah, it was closer. There was closer to 1,600 people there.
All I know is you couldn't move without touching people. Every Mexican motorcycle organization was there. Not one American club except for that Sacred Bone Society. Just I'm surprised more Americans don't cross the border. But
well, no, I pointed out a few individuals to you that were from a club.
They weren't wearing colors.
I know.
They weren't colors. I ain't got it. I don't mean no comment. But you didn't take any pictures of that one, did you? I didn't see what it came.
Hey, what do you guys got for temperatures right now? Just out of curiosity.
Right now it's 79 degrees.
It's
with a slight breeze coming in the one window and going out through the sliding door.
Well, it's a wonderful 59 degrees where I'm at right now. Sweatshirt on and everything.
We're at 62.
Yeah, and I'm sitting out here and I'm like, damn, I'm kind of cold.
I'm loving this weather.
Well, the party in Mexico, we were down by the ocean, so that was nice. But we're back now. We're only, what, about 6 miles from the ocean? How far are we about?
No, we're less, 7.5 miles from the ocean.
Oh, excuse my ass. Okay.
Seven and a half
miles.
So
we're getting a little bit of humidity. It's not that nice.
That breeze feels good, buddy.
It feels okay.
Well, that's because you were locked up in the shop all day.
I had to work all day. I have a hard job. I'm not some supervisor that walks around for 10 minutes and then goes back inside the air-conditioned office.
I don't know who you're talking about.
So, Philip's going to jail, everybody. Make sure that once we get him in here, I want everybody... If you can't text anything, so let's everybody write him a letter. Send some pictures of send him some pictures of your dinner. That'd be nice.
No, here.
Send some pictures of
you. You know, I'm going to share this with you. Ride of the century, Bill.
Ride of the century?
Ride of the century. Motorcycle event in Missouri.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, that was terrible.
Police performed mass searches of vehicles and impounded bikes based on their illegal checkpoint searches. Now, but there is no such thing as motorcycle checkpoints anymore, right, Bill?
That's what they say.
That's what they say. Okay, so here we go.
Missouri. Home of the American.
I'm under the direction to tow any bike that has a hot motor. I mean, listen, I understand. I'm not trying to. All I'm asking, I know my situation. I mean, I didn't participate in the ride you were taking all the guys on.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, in your
opinion. So, if the bike's hot, you're towing?
Correct.
That's legal?
I was told by my captain to do it. I'm only assuming it's legal by taking a directive from my captain.
What are you guys doing? I was talking to my buddy.
We want to find out what's going on. I'll be glad to tell you. I just want everybody down here warm.
Okay.
If you have questions, then.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on.
Perfect. I was told that earlier there was a pursuit. Officer trying to stop the bike. I'm answering one question at a time. There was a pursuit.
Officers try to stop the motorcycles,
they did
not stop immediately, therefore, they're towing the
motorcycle.
The one that you tried pulling, or the one you tried pulling over?
Do you have
a license plate?
Yeah,
on video or anything?
I'm legal. I got everything I need. You already checked our bikes. They're completely legal. We weren't even with that group, so how do you have a right to tow our bikes?
Yeah,
how do you know we are with that legal people?
One of the officers here was in
the one of the officers can remember having a single bike?
That's
pretty sure they did.
Okay.
Well, I'm being told.
Okay.
took 23 bikes.
At least I came over and gave you an answer. Thanks for that, though.
23 bikes,
though. Unbelievable. People in Missouri, wake the blankety blank up. Go down right away and do something about this one. For God's sake, dialogue is communication between two parties. Just because the motorcycle was hot?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. Actually, I got to give that one officer a lot of kudos, though. He explained the situation. He said he was given an order by his captain.
Probably
he wasn't
order,
being judgmental.
Order first.
He wasn't saying anything. He says that's the way it is. Missouri, is there anybody out there in Missouri? For God's sakes, wake up. How can you let this happen to you? You kind of think that the heartland of America, you think they'd be a little bit more, more stable, just kind of more wholesome. Not this, that's not like California bullshit. Dory, is there anybody else?
I just got a text from Andy McPhee, Bill. He says he's in class with his students right now, but he will hit us up. And I'm texting him back right now.
And Andy McPhee was in the Sons of Anarchy?
He played the president.
He was
of the
Irish. President of the Irish chapter. You know, when the Sons of Anarchy, while Philip's doing that, when that came out with the conflict with the Irish, Philip and I are both Irish, and I really wanted to be in that show. I had no intention to be in the show until I found out they were going to shoot an Irish chapter. I wanted Sons of Anarchy. I wanted Ireland on my back. I thought I'd be pretty proud of that.
Yeah, but you were heartbroken when they told you they filmed it here.
And they told me they filmed it in San Fernando Valley. What the heck? I've got relatives I haven't seen in 10 years in Ireland. I pay my own way back. I told them they just pay for my hotel and feed me. I do whatever stuff
I got
want.
Relatives over there. Two sets of relatives.
Yeah.
One set owns a hotel and the other set owns a hotel.
Well,
one hotel is in Mayo and the other one is in Cork.
But when we found that the shoot was just in San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, it just, I don't know. So, Philip and I were not in the movie. We weren't any of the Sons of Anarchy from Ireland, so it didn't work out. I didn't want to be in the show, but I kind of thought that, that Ireland, that kind of interesting. So anyway, boys and girls, here we are. I hope these people in Missouri are going to do something. I hope they have an abate. I hope they have a bolt. I hope they have a bam. I hope they have something. I'm going to ask everybody a question tonight, and I've asked it intermittently. Last time I was public speaking, the audience really kind of got behind me on this. I'm going to ask everybody, where is our leaders of the motorcycle community in San Diego? I can't find them. Where are the leaders of the motorcycle community in Southern California? I can't find them. Who is the leader of the motorcycle community in all of California? I can't find him or her. I try to find out who is our leader in the West Coast. I can't find out. I tried the Midwest. I've tried the Eastern Seaboard. I tried down south. Why is it that we have no leader in the motorcycle community? Why is it that we remain fragmented? Why is it we can't come together as a voting block? Why do we continue to let egos and misinterpretations and miscommunications? When are we one day going to have a leader for all motorcycle riders? Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, be a man, be a woman. I'm not that concerned about it. We should have the right person for the job. Why, after all of this time, we have never had a leader in the motorcycle community? Now, I don't want to run for office. I don't want the motorcycle leader to run for office. But, Philip, I was asking, why is it we have no leaders among us motorcycle people?
Because everybody just wants to stand on the curb and watch the parade go by.
Maybe someone out there has got a suggestion that they'd like to see a leader in the motorcycle community. If you know some man or some woman that you think should be the one. You know, give me a call. Let me know. I'd help promote them if I think they're a good person. What I don't want is somebody full of ego and attitude and somebody looking just for themselves. I just want to find in my lifetime a man or a woman that says, I'm here for the motorcycle community. I don't know. Maybe I'm asking too much. I ask that now and then when I'm at big political meetings and they all look at me like, we're too busy fighting each other, Bill. We're not getting anything done because we're just trying to make sure our group is the best group. Philip and I don't belong to a lot of organizations because, in fact, we don't want to deal with the politics. But we realize that we have to come together. So we support and endorse many more motorcycle organizations. But isn't there somebody out there? East Coast, Eastern Seaboard, Midwest, California, Washington. Well, why is it we have nobody that represents us? Have you ever heard of a name of somebody that says, oh, that's the one we should all listen to ever?
Yeah.
Well, besides your name, of course. I mean, we didn't know, you know. Philip Hennigan speaks and everybody listens. I mean, but with the exception of Philip Hennigan, we've not come across anybody. I've been to non-com. I've been to organizations and we give people awards and platitudes, and when do we find that person? Is there anybody out there that's got a leader in their local area that they think is worthy to mention? Anybody at all? Hello?
Hello? You know, Bill's,
not
to change the subject, but you know that guy, that reporter that got beat up on the Devil's Ride?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lawsuit going on right now against Discovery, Bischoff, everybody.
Oh, my God.
The people that own the bar,
the
bar is now gone.
Uh-huh.
He's suing those people anyway. Because they let their in some security company, because they let them do it.
Well, he didn't do it inside the bar. He did it on the street, I thought, the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why would they? You know, you sue everybody.
That's it.
I guess. You know.
It's all the money.
You know, boys and girls, I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have been hit. Not one person has ever had insurance. What comma do I have? I have illegals. I have American citizens. It don't matter. Everybody takes a shot at me. And nobody has had insurance.
Mm-hmm. And
that's just my comma.
That's me, you, and Andy right there in that picture. And I don't know if anybody saw this, but I'll post it again.
Andy's lucky. I'm in a good mood because, you know, when I first met Andy,
Lucky he beat the shit out of you.
He's damn lucky I wasn't. I had my peripheral vision.
In that
I could have made a move.
Yeah, in that picture that that is up right now. They introduced Bill to Andy McPhee. And he wanted to...
I took umbrage with him.
Yeah, and he looked up at the roof and he said, where's the ladder? He wanted to throw him off the roof.
I thought that, you know, Philip and I are both Irish, and the idea of being a snitch is something that we really don't appreciate. You know, snitches get stitches and all that. So I mentioned it for Andy, that even though he was killed in the movie with the Sons of Anarchy, maybe I should throw him off the roof one more time. So what Andy said to me was, please, Bill, before you hurt me, let me say something. The Sons of Anarchy are a TV show. Bill, please, I have nothing to do with the Real Motorcycle Club, number one. Number two, he says, Bill, I'm not Irish, I'm Australian. I had to practice the Irish accent.
And number three was?
Number three is a professional wrestler and a boxer from Australia. And you know when he told me that, I said, well, you're damn lucky you're not Irish because I could have thrown you right off that roof. And to this day, he appreciates the fact that I kept my temper.
Yeah, I sent him a text back. He said, he sent me a text that he will try, but he's tied up at the moment.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's got a new girlfriend?
No, he's teaching a class.
He's kinky?
So, teaching a class. He's also listening.
Oh.
Don't piss him off.
Is he long distance?
Yeah, he's not that far away. He's less than 100 miles from us. And he knows where I live.
Well, if he's beating the hell out of you, just don't give my address. You hang in as strong as you can.
But the other thing I wanted to tell you, Bill.
Yeah.
Is I don't know if you remember that Iron Brotherhood.
With a boxing match or something, wasn't it?
No. The Iron Brotherhood.
Okay.
It's a cop organization.
Right.
They have chapters all over the United States. And basically what this says is law enforcement motorcycle gangs are damaging officers' credibility. This was done by Jill, and this comes out of Prescott, Arizona. 8 months after a bar brawl involving a law enforcement motorcycle group in Prescott, prosecutors are still deciding if they will file criminal charges against some of the members involved. 8 months later, still it would take him 8 fucking minutes to charge me and you.
That's right.
8 seconds.
Prescott, Arizona is a strange town. 20 years ago when I pulled in, I went to a bar, and they stopped me cold. No colors allowed. 20 years ago. And Prescott, Arizona is not the hub of a metropolitan city at all. It's a Tooley's. But 20 years ago, they were stopping people going in.
Because experts say there are a growing number of law enforcement motorcycle groups. This is a handful in Arizona, but how they are different from the outlaw motorcycle clubs.
Mm-hmm.
They can be confusing. Even blurry line between the good guys and the bad guys. You might not know it from the video taken from a bar brawl on Whiskey Row on last Christmas Eve, but this is no outlaw motorcycle gang. This is the Iron Brotherhood, a biker group made up of current, former law enforcement officers, deputies, police officers, firefighters, and paramedics. Witnesses say they were carrying their brass knuckles and knives along with their badges, Bill. Those kinds of incidents, those kinds of brawls, they're not the norm, says Kerry Drubin. Criminal attorney and author Kerry Drubin has written 3 nonfiction books covering the largest biker clubs in the world. Groups like number 1, number 2, and number 3. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. The major league teams.
They're also involved in arms trafficking, drug trafficking, money laundering, gambling, and sometimes murder. She says the missions of police motorcycle groups are 180 degrees from the outlaw clubs. What is this? Distinct about them from motorcycle clubs is they are tongue-in-cheek. They call themselves 99% of law-abiding citizens that are forming motorcycle clubs to promote a positive image to the general public. At first glance, it's not easy to decipher the two. Take a look at the Iron Brotherhood website, Skull Cross and Heavy Metal Music. It mentions nothing about charity work, but touts that it's a male-only club bragging. This club's colors are earned and not bought. Remember, this club is made up of police officers. Back to the website of one of the most notorious motorcycle clubs, instead of a heart-pounding heavy metal, softer country music. The website insists it's a motorcycle club, not a gang. And unlike the law enforcement website, this one says it raises money for charity. It's especially hard to tell the good from the bad when they dress alike. The Iron Brotherhood will say the blue eyes represent brothers in blue. We're a police club. The general public sees blue eyes. Skull, Iron Cross, man on a motorcycle. How is it going to be any different from a heavy hitter club if they are riding man on a motorcycle? So the general public isn't going to be able to they're going to know that one is in conscious and the other one is involved in criminal activities. So that's where it becomes confusing. They can't be wearing the trappings of an outlaw club and saying we're all good guys.
Yeah.
Again, for the general public, that's a very blurred line.
The Blue Knights are not, they're old people.
Yeah.
They're old.
All right, just people. So I can finish this story, I'm going to mute you guys, and I'll mute you in a minute. President of the Blue Knights of Tucson, a nonprofit motorcycle group made up of law enforcement officers. He said to avoid the confusion with the outlaw clubs, his group redesigned their patches. One center patch, no rockers. They didn't want it to look like that, and that's why we did it. We don't want to have that kind of reputation. There are still some police agencies through, and their proud investigators include us, the Blue Knights, within the one percenters, and I don't know exactly why. Retired from Tucson Police Department, he started the Blue Knights in Tucson chapter in 91 for a camaraderie to ride motorcycles to help people when we can and get involved in some charitable contributions and activities So we're not looking to go out drinking and getting drunk in brawls and show we're the toughest guy in the corner. Witnesses say members of the police biker group involved in the Prescott Bar brawl were acting like an outlaw motorcycle club throughout the night, flashing the police badges and show of power. Fucking guys. Always the same shit. Investigative reports say the officers even adopted biker gang monikers to nicknames like Tarzan, Mongo, Guido, and Top Gun. Usually we do. Our guys are Butch, Pat, and... The problem is they're identifying themselves within established, very prominent, very well-known 1% of motorcycle clubs. One biker club expert told me over the phone, he's reset itself.
You know why you're doing that very quickly? The last party we were at, we had that one club came in, and there was about 10 of them. Not one of them had an old lady with them, and they were all walking shoulder to shoulder. I think you're with me. I asked one of their members, I introduced myself, and I said, can I speak to your president? He said, yes, this is our president. I said, how do you do? My name is Bill Kennedy. I said, can I ask you where the valve stem is? I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
And he says, what do you mean the valve stem? I said, I need to let that little bit of that air out of your chest.
Yep.
There's 10 of you walking around like you're looking to start a shit. You're looking for a fight. No. We're backing each other up. Backing each other up.
For what?
If you go to a party, you bring your old ladies, your girlfriends, you bring something. You guys, 10 guys came, and all you do is walking around trying to throw force. Let the air out, calm down, lighten up. You're a police motorcycle club. Why do you got to try to be like badass? You know, you're not badasses. You're policemen. So afterwards, they had a little bad feelings on that, but the past few months, I run to them now and then. It's okay, I guess.
You know,
but why try to be somebody you're not?
No. They contacted a half a dozen agencies around the state of Arizona, including the Phoenix Police. All of them say they have rules related to off-duty conduct on becoming an officer. They don't dictate what clubs officers can belong to. The critics of the biker clubs have alleged that it's really hurting the credibility of law enforcement officers.
Everywhere.
It reflects on every officer out there, and then nobody says, oh, see those guys? You can't trust them, and that's really not the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like those guys, remember those guys that came up and you asked them
what
about
party?
The party at the shop. You asked them, I forget the name of the club, they're out of San Diego.
Who cares?
Okay. Club. No, and the guy said, we have stricter rules than the FBI. We have stricter rules to get in than the FBI?
Yeah, join me, I forgot.
Yeah.
You're cops.
Yeah.
Bottom line is you're cops. Why don't you just be a cop? And you would think that, and this is my own personal feeling, if you have to wear a cop uniform all day long, you would think that when you get off duty, the last thing you want to do is dress more like the same person.
Exactly.
You think you'd want to wear a plaid, you wear stripes, and come on, be different. Be individual.
A Department of Public Safety investigative report recommends charges against 4 of the Iron Brotherhood members involved in the Prescott Brawl.
It'll never happen.
Most of them have resigned or been fired from their respective agencies. That don't mean nothing. They should still, they can still prosecute them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Whiskey Road chapter.
Prosecution they left. That's all.
And the Whiskey Road chapter has since been removed from their website. We also reached out to the Iron Brotherhood for comment, but did not return our calls and emails.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy just quit, and the last guy out of the 4, the last guy just quit the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And now, did you know that, did you hear about this? CNN was caught staging news segments on Syria with actors?
No, not at all. Yeah. Although every war, I think, has been actually caught staging fake and crap, yeah. What has it got here now? Primary witness that the mainstream media is using as a source in Syria has been caught staging fake news segments. Recent video evidence proves that Syria Danny, the supposed activist who has been begging for military intervention on CNN, is really just a paid actor
and
a liar.
We got a video.
Oh, fuck, come on. Danny the Zionist. Okay, all right. Talk to us, Danny.
Says he's waiting for an answer from CNN. Well, let the gunfire sound then. Now they're shooting guns. Says Siri mutes in English, but the guy's talking Arabic. Notice no gunfire is heard yet. Contradicting himself while off the air and even asking crew members to get the gunfire sounds ready for his video conference with Anderson Cooper. He also said, "My fingers are freezing. Give me a small mattress out here."
Credibility left.
Says, notice, no gunfire, no shelling.
He's still prepping. He's staging. He's getting ready.
Yeah.
Now he's checking to see, is it working? The microphone.
Saddam's statue,
yeah.
Put the flag over it. That was the stage anyway. Did you tell him to get the gunfire ready?
No,
not yet. Just let him shoot. Notice the explosion soon after. Here's the rerun. See for yourself. Time is just been
Well, let's look back in the time. How about
here.
MacArthur when he came into the Philippines? He shot everything, then he got back on the ship, and he stepped on the Philippine ground a second time. He didn't like the way it looked.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's just crap.
It's just like the Marines brought in the cheering. Remember when he brought in all those kids to scream and make it seem authentic?
Every government has to use the media as a tool, a weapon to make themselves look good. I would like to think that America...
What do you guys think of that?
Who, me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I only caught bits and pieces of it because it wasn't coming through too good, but I agree with...
Oh, because it was in Arabic and I was translating for you.
Oh, okay. But I agree with what Bill was saying about the media. I think the media hype is just completely out of control, and you know, anything for a story because a story pays, and people are getting wrong information.
Okay.
I agree on that because the media just puts out what they are told to put out. So people are only hearing one side of the story. They're not seeing everything all together. I was in a debate with people on a news channel page here yesterday, you know, because people were attacking me. Well, you know, why don't you feel that we should be over there doing something? I said, for what? It has nothing to do with us. Well, this is what we have to show the world. Since when?
That's
when are
right.
we the judge, the jury, and the maker? We're not.
You know, just recently here in San Diego.
All the sheep follow him. So
yeah.
For everybody that voted for the man that's in charge right now, welcome to the New World Order. I went into such an extreme debate. I mean, people were just like, they thought I was anti-American. I'm not. And I told them I am American, but I do not follow him, period.
Right. And as a veteran, I support and endorse every protester. That is your right as an American. Now, when we go to war, let's never, ever forget our troops. But what's your right to protest? You know, just recently here in San Diego, I don't know if you girls have been following this here, the mayor of San Diego left office. Did anybody hear about that?
No.
Okay, he was accused, allegations of fondling some women. He was accused of, during lunchtime, taking some women up to different hotels. He was accused, and he was never charged with anything, but he had to leave office. Here we have a man, the mayor of San Diego, and like 10 women went against him, 18. Making allegations. 18.
18 now.
Oh, well, you know, shoot, maybe he's
there's
not.
There's a picture of me, him, in red.
Did he fondle you too?
No, no.
Oh, thank God.
There's a picture. No, I'm standing away from him, but there's a picture of me, him in red that people jumped on right away.
I remember
the story, but I didn't know what happened to him.
He had to resign, and yet he's never been charged with anything. How can you take a man in office and, first of all, if he's done something wrong, prosecute him, take him to court, give him his day in court, and then let him, whichever way, innocent or guilty. This man never did anything, but because of the pressure of all these people, he gave up his job.
Yeah.
What the hell? And
wow. He was
I don't know. Excuse me if I'm old-fashioned, but, you know, if I grab your butt, either turn around and slap me, or go get your old man, have him punch me. But none of these girls did anything until, like, some case a year later, some 6 months later. Oh, he touched my butt. Well, so what? If it was offensive to you, turn around and slap that fool in the face, you know?
Exactly. But, I mean, how many times have you passed someone in a crowd and your hand accidentally touches a person? You're not doing that on purpose, but it happens.
No.
You know, so if that one particular woman, I know exactly who you're talking about, if she sat there and if that event took place, wow, how much did she get paid to say that on TV?
Exactly. You know, I have some friends of mine that are exceptionally well-developed in the upper torso area, and sometimes we're talking or something like that, and just them turning around, their boobs bump my arm. It's not intentional.
Well, I told you not to stand so close.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is sometimes you just bump into people, and they're having such large developed torso, sometimes they just bump into things. I didn't take that as sensual or sexual. I didn't take that as a shock on me. I didn't think the girl even though I said, sorry, Bill, just the same thing as an elbow. If your boob touches my elbow, I'm not going to go crazy. Maybe bump me somewhere else, but what I'm trying to make is we bump into each other all the time. What's the big difference, you know?
Yeah, but you're a tall man, so you'd have to have a tall woman in order for her upper torso to tap your elbow. Just saying.
That is true.
You know, short women like you and I, you know, we have to worry about all the men that are taller than us.
Another caller here on the line.
Hello?
718-926. Want to tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, New York. Y'all hear me?
I remember you.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. This is a guy. He called in the other night. We had some that thought he needed to use the N-word.
Okay.
The dude from Queens.
Use the N-word? Oh, who do you talk?
No, not you. I was telling my partner Bill what happened.
All right.
Yeah.
Why would you
say
that?
I just wanted you to know I put that guy's info out and he ended up getting about 3,200 emails and phone calls and drove him nuts.
Who's got info?
Not yours, the other guy. The guy, the goof that was on the other night on Tuesday.
Oh, that was talking about how, you know, niggers, I mean, all.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, how we.
Yeah, I did him a favor.
How we
yeah,
all want welfare and all that, right?
Yeah, I did him a favor. I posted all his info.
Isn't that
your we're talking about the...
He was wrong.
And, you know, I got to explain it real quick, though. I feel about this. You call somebody by a name, derogatory name, Actually, what you're really saying to them, okay, my life is screwed up. At least I'm not as screwed up as you are. So that's the reason I don't use drugs. I don't need to belittle other people to make myself better.
My life is screwed up. Although I work for Con Edison, but my life is still screwed
after,
up.
After you hung up, he jumped on the ladies.
Man, I need more money. I need more money. Isn't that
that's
the guy
okay.
right there?
I'm sorry?
I said, isn't that the guy right there? The guy that was just like,
That was Stacy.
No, he was a moron, you know. I mean, like Phil was just saying, after I knew her up, he jumped on myself and the other caller, and we were just like, what the hell is your problem?
Who, me?
No, not you. That goofy guy.
Good guy. The other guy's the bad guy. We'll get that organized.
Yeah.
Derek, you're the good guy.
The other guy's the bad guy.
No,
right.
Everybody's good. Everybody's a good guy, man. Come on.
Well, we gave you props for acting the way you did because that guy was a moron.
Did I act like a butt the other night?
No, you were fine.
I said we gave you kudos. We gave
after
you props for acting accordingly to somebody that was acting like a jerk to you.
You were fine. You handled it like a man. You were fine.
Man, I always got to deal with that at the job, you know?
Right.
I do, too.
Yes, sir. But, hey, listen, man. Oh, hey, man.
You know, I had one time, this is going back a few years, but I think I told you the story, Bill. I work in San Diego, and I build ships and repair Navy ships. Pardon me?
Pipe welder.
Not anymore, but not anymore. I'm 55 now.
Uh-oh.
Little trouble 55. With the physical.
You're 55 years old?
Huh?
You're not 55 years old, man. You sound like you.
No, I'm 55, man.
Come on, man. You're not 55, man. You sound like you're 26.
Yeah, no, I'm 55.
You're
standing next to Bill Kennedy, and I'm 64, so I definitely know the voice of...
You said Bill Cosby?
No, Bill Kennedy. Bill Cosby's 83 this year. But let me finish this story. We had a bunch of guys come from Mississippi.
Yeah.
It was 25 brothers and one white guy.
Yeah.
So I had everybody working, and I went in to go check on them at different places different
you
parts
mean
of the area.
You mean 27 brothers. A white guy is a brother, too, depending
well,
on
yeah,
how
but,
you act.
Yeah, but this, oh, that's where I'm going. Let me finish the story.
Yeah.
So I walk in, and on the one particular unit, 10 guys are working their ass off. This guy's over there. He's got his thermos out, a cup of coffee poured, and he's reading a newspaper.
Yeah.
So I walked up to this one kid. I'll call him Pat. And I said, hey, Pat, what's up with this guy? He goes, hey, man, I don't know if you've ever been down south, but he said, all the white guys, they sit and watch us work. I said, well, watch this. I told the guy, hey, put all that shit away and get to work, or put all your shit in the bag and put it in the box and go home. I don't need you. Well, what are you doing? You're sending me home? Yeah, you're not working. We've been on this job for 2 hours already, and you ain't even started working yet. Well, I got to read my paper and drink my coffee. See, you can do that shit on the way home. You're done. And never brought him back.
Yeah.
Well, pardon me. What are you, Hispanic?
Hold on. What was that?
I said, what are you, Hispanic?
No, me, I'm an Irish guy. We're both Irish guys. I'm from Chicago. Bill's from Boston.
South Boston.
Oh, yeah, the Irish guys. I like these Irish guys, man. You guys work hard, man. I was dealing with some of you guys that I'm an electrician. I'm a junior electrician at that. I can't even say that I'm a foreman. You know, in the electricity world, at the end of the day, the electrician is basically the foreman, the guy that knows everything about everything, you know. So I can't even consider myself, because I got so much respect for the trade that I'm a junior electrician. I don't know everything about everything. So
hey, I started out as a helper.
Yeah.
41 years ago.
Me too. I started out as a laborer.
41 years ago.
Yeah, you know. But these guys, man, I like the Irish guys, you know. Most of these guys is in local – right now I'm local 79 down here in New York. Most of these guys is like local 15 or operating engineers and iron workers and shit like that. You guys got guts, man. You guys come to work drunk as fuck and just still be working. I'm like, yo, how do they do it?
They're practicing alcoholics.
These guys do it, I'm telling you. But you would
never
know.
Irish people have always been by their relatives to appreciate what America has given them. Coming from Ireland, we came to America, and I'm a second generation. I think Phil's second generation. We came, and this country gave us an opportunity. All Irishmen appreciate it. We work hard for it. We thank America for giving us the opportunity.
Yes, sir. But, man, these guys, I'm telling you, you will never know until you see them every day. Every day. And then you start, you know, you could just tell. And I'm like, and then they start, you know, admitting to you, and then they go off to the corner and drink their little shit and this and that, and they come back, and they could just operate like it's nothing. And I'm like, God damn, man, you guys is good. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Derek, this is Bill Kennedy speaking. I got a question for you. Derek, how did you hear about the show?
Excuse me?
How did you hear about our show tonight?
How did I hear about your show? Because I tuned in the other night.
So how did you hear about the other night? How did you hear about the show?
Because I saved your number.
Saved where did you get the number?
Because I seen it on Blog Talk Radio.
What I'm saying is,
because the other night I spoke to you guys.
How did you hear about the show before the phone call?
Before the phone call.
How did you hear about the show the first time?
The first time before you called in the other night. How did you find out about the show?
Yeah, I seen it on live. I seen it on live, and the topic was kind of interesting, so I figured that I would tune in.
Okay, cool.
We're always just curious.
No, we're always curious on where it goes because we have people from all over the world. We have people right now. Some in Australia, some in Canada, some in the Netherlands, Denmark. Everybody listens to the show worldwide.
Some in New York.
40 countries at this point.
Some in New York.
Some in New York,
say some in New York.
Yes, it depends on who you're talking
about. I'm talking about me, man. What the fuck?
No, I'm just saying. Everybody hears about it from all new different places, and we just kind of keep a tally on that.
Yeah, but no, I just seen it on Blog Talk Radio, and then, you know, when I was speaking to the other guy the other day, and I was like, oh, man, this is kind of good. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this number here. And then once you call up the number, it tells you that this show starts in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or this show starts in 8 hours. Or this show starts in 10 hours. Like that.
Right.
And then I was like,
well, what we're doing is we're usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But are you familiar with the show The Sons of Anarchy? The
television show?
Excuse me?
Are you familiar with that TV show?
The who?
It's called The Sons of Anarchy.
TV show about motorcycles?
About a motorcycle club.
No, I've never seen it.
Okay. Well, what we do on Wednesday nights is we have this thing, and we call it Sam Crow Radio, where we have one of the actors from the show call up, and then people get to ask him questions, and we talk about how they got started and all that stuff. But that's going to be starting. It started a month ago, but the first show is today. And then Wednesday, the 11th, we're going to have people.
Hello?
Man, you better feed your animal. What the hell?
Yeah.
Past dinner time?
Are you?
No,
if you want to watch that TV show again on Tuesday, Sons of Anarchy.
It's on 7 o'clock your time.
And if you're interested in it, then the following night you can call us up here. It's called Sam Crow, and we have an actor or an actress from the show. You talk to them live about the TV show if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was my wolf dog. He was just acting a fool because of my cat. He don't like my cat, and my cat was out the cage. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah. All right, mute me because he's going to act up again.
Okay.
All right, now.
All right, you take care, Derek.
All right, thanks for taking
the time. All
right, bye-bye. All right,
later.
I wasn't there on Tuesday. This guy kind of jumped in and gave everybody hands. And Derek being the good guy.
Derek kind of like set him in his place, and then when that didn't work, he turned on, Stacy, tell him what happened.
Oh, man, I wouldn't turn on Stacy nor. I wouldn't do that. In unison?
Yeah, well,
he
turned on me, and when I went to get my real point across, the coward hung up, and I just kind of went a little Philip all over the place. I was not being like politically correct. I could have used some better mannerisms, but F bombs were coming out of my mouth by the bountiful amount, and I went off on a tangent for a good 20 minutes or so. So,
you know, a while back I had this huge black guy come into my shop, and he walked in with a major attitude. He walked up to me and he said, "Are you the owner?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Is my money good here?" I said, "Is your money green?" He said, "My money's green." I said, "Then you're a motorcycle rider. You're riding a Harley Davidson. I fixed Harley Davidson. Your money's good here." He wasn't apologizing for anything. He was just pointing out that if you don't want me here, just say so. I'll walk out the door. But I respected that. I give everybody a chance to show me whether or not I respect you as a man. And once I decide I respect you as a man, then you can be a black, yellow, green, polka dot. I don't care what you are. If I don't respect you as a man, you ain't gonna belong in my shop at all. But he came in, he didn't know where he was, he asked a question flat out. Those are the people I want to deal with. I know we're all different. Let's just flat out ask you. You got a problem with it? Deal with it. So that's how we deal it out here. Besides, if you people are watching us, you must know that in Southern California, everybody else is Mexican, but Philip and I, we're the only two non-Mexican left.
Oh, my God, that's too funny. Well, I had an epiphany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, that guy, he was just...
I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, I mean, you'd even...
I like that. I like stupid people.
Yeah, you'd even tore him a new ass.
I don't get emotional, but I like to tear up stupid people.
After the show, he posted up in as well. What a joke, the Phil and Bill show. Where I'm like, oh, moron.
He even made fun of me and I wasn't here.
Well,
wow.
only because
that's tough.
No, only because he wanted to know about the Million Man March. Mm. So I started telling him about it.
Yeah.
Then he went off on people of color, Syria, all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah.
And about
Obama.
Being on the state aid and stuff like that.
Well, like I've always said, that first of all, that's a man who's not, he has no respect for himself. I can tell that right away.
No.
What is it? As a man, you respect yourself. And as a man, I expect to get respect. And I don't care what nationality, what race you are. I don't care what you're riding motorcycle wise. You give me my respect first. You'll get respect from me. Other than that, we got problems right away. I do not need to make myself stronger by belittling other people. That is not my forte. I don't make fun of other people because, again, that only adds, like, I'm insecure. I'm trying to make fun of you. I don't need to make fun of other people. I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what I can do. If you want to be my friend, prove to me I can give you respect. And that goes for, I keep saying men. That's men and women, too. I don't respect you. Don't worry about it. You ain't never going to be my friend.
You know, well, he claimed he was a vet. So if he was a vet, don't get me wrong.
No, his father.
Vets have a right to be angry or have their own opinion. But to sit there and go off on someone's car.
He wasn't a vet. He was talking about his father.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay?
I'm a mistake.
So don't give him credit for something he didn't do.
He was a vet. He might have had a better attitude.
Right. He wouldn't have talked the way
Not all of them do. I have met some that do not have a great attitude. So it was my mistake. I misunderstood. I thought he stated he was one.
No.
Because the way he was jumping at Stacy.
No.
Well, among the vets, the combat vets, there's an old saying, right? There's no atheist, or racist in a foxhole.
No.
You jump in anyone you can find.
Yep.
Well, you know, the thing that got me mad and I tried to point out to him is that, of course, he was going off on the situation over there in Syria and Iraq and Iran. And he's saying, you know, religion and politics, but yet here he is spouting off about politics and putting a Southern biblical turn on it. And I said to him, I'm like, dude, that don't make you no better than them for even that type of thinking. You know, it's just, he was a real loser. There was just nothing even remotely nice about
him. Like I said,
it
sounds like the man has no respect for himself. And by belittling other people, he's trying to make himself act like he's more important. Anytime you stoop to insult or put down another person, that makes you littler. I don't go by that at all. I don't like a lot of people. That's a fact, because I don't respect them. But it's nothing to do with race or color or religion. Either I respect you or I don't respect you, and I'm real basic on that. Nothing shy about me in that department,
no,
boys and girls.
We don't discriminate here. We'll give everybody their,
one chance.
It says right there, participation options. If you want the podium, call me and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna go tell me this and then go south on me like in a heartbeat, I'm gonna mute you.
Well, Philip and I get some static. We have some friends that belong to all girl motorcycle clubs.
That's correct.
How come they're your friends? Because they're good people. The fact that they're all women, they all want to ride their motorcycles, that's not an issue with me.
What makes them
whether
mad,
or not I respect
makes,
them.
Yeah, and what makes them mad is most of them ride better than the guys.
Some of them absolutely do. And if I can throw this in, and this probably is a bit sexist, we go somewhere, they always see that I get fed, so, you know, I'm happy with that. I need to eat a lot of food, you know, so. Somehow the all-girl bike clubs, oh, Bill's here, Phil's here, here's some food. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a simple world I have.
Like last year in Vegas when that woman prospect got nervous because I took pictures. that was some funny shit there.
You know, I was in Vegas. I don't know what was going on. I went down with my wife downtown, and she said, oh, I got to run in this store. She's been in 50 stores already. She's going to run in one more store. Honey, you go ahead. I'll sit out here in the street. Down the Fremont Experience. So my wife inside, this lady came up and wanted to know if I wanted a date.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I appreciate the offer. It's the nicest thing anybody said to me all day. My wife is in the store. How quick a quickie can we possibly do? And she said, oh, probably not that quick. And I said, well, thank you for the date anyway, but my wife will be out in a couple of minutes and probably difficult explaining all that. But you know what? She came up to me, a prostitute, and I said, well, like a date. I didn't take that offensive. I thought that was the nicest thing someone said all day to me.
Well,
total stranger came up and wanted to
I
know.
I told
you
not to have that sign, says I need a hug. I told you not to carry that sign.
I don't judge other people. You know what? Why she does what she does. I'm just appreciated she even, you know, would consider being with me. So that was nice.
Yeah. And just for shits and giggles, we're going to, well, I don't know. I think we'll wait. I'm not going to tell him who's going to be on next week.
Okay. You know, when we go to Vegas, and Philip is definitely dialed into Las Vegas, I'm still having health issues with my wife because she got to do some minor surgery. But there's a hotel called the Golden Nugget, and you already booked your rooms because you're solid. I'm still kind of wishy-washy. There is a giant shark tank there. Huge, huge shark tank. They have a clear tube that goes through the shark tank, and the shark swims 306 degrees all around you while you're sliding down slowly through this tank. Please listen to see if Phil and I both come back, because we're going through the shark tank, right? We're good. We're good. So, boys and girls, you want to know what it's like to have sharks swimming all around you, let us know. Tell us. We'll tell you. We're going down October the 3rd?
No, it's October the 4th.
Okay.
Be the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and coming back Monday.
Yeah.
I already wanted to go Thursday, but Thursday's, Friday's more better.
So, boys and girls, like I said, if you want to, know it's like, Phil and I are going to go down the shark tank. And if I cannot go.
You know, you keep telling people you want
then
to
I may not make
book,
it. Then you're stuck. You're stuck going to the shark tank by yourself. And you can tell us what it was like.
I already seen it.
Did you go down it? No.
No.
All right.
Why should I run through a tube with sharks? My luck, did somebody break the fucking tube?
I do it.
Good for you, girl.
I do it in a heartbeat. That's just
you,
like people don't understand, like, one thing on my bucket list is I want to go to Dutch Harbor. I would love to go out on one of them big crab boats that they show on the Deadliest Catch. Just, I don't care how sick I got. I just want to be on it and film my own pictures, do my own pictures, just for the sake of saying I was able to do something like that, because that's some gut-wrenching job right there, boy. But, you know, I don't know. It's the thrill of the excitement. You know, it's how often does one get to do any of that stuff. So, like, if I was given the opportunity to do it, I would do it. You should do it, Bill. You should do it.
I hope you have a lot of adrenaline, because those ships go up and down. Up
yeah,
and down.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. I get sick on Martha's Vineyard Ferry. You know, I have friends with big boats. Too. I know. I'd probably be throwing up all over the place, but I still wouldn't care, because just to be able to get some of those pictures out on that boat, that would be, like, just way too cool.
When I grew up in South Boston, of course, we were right there by the bay, so we took boats everywhere and all that. We had a place down the road from us called Castle Island.
Yeah.
And there was a gangster called Whitey Bulger. He always...
Oh, yeah.
And we all knew he was a gangster. Everybody knew he was a gangster. He was friends with the whole Irish family. We were all related. I kept asking, why is he hanging out there?
You were paying taxes. That's
I couldn't figure what he was doing there. They f***ed him everywhere. But once he went out on Castle Island, they had no equipment that could pick him up there. So we had all his meetings there. But he never bothered any of the local guys. I've got quite a few recollections of him running up to senior citizens and carrying their groceries to their houses and all that, or walking by with somebody's in line at the grocery store, him walking in.
Well, he went to get the last bit they had of the welfare check.
He took numbers. He took numbers without a doubt there.
Absolutely.
But being in Boston, I've been on so many boats, I know that that's rough. What I'm looking for, though, is, see, if both Philip and I are lucky enough to make the shark ride, I have what's called shorts. Do you guys know what board shorts are?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to wear my extra dark glasses with them white legs you got.
I have board shorts. Swim trunks that come down to my knees, okay, called board shorts. Now, Philip.
Oh, don't even go there. Don't even go there.
Would anybody out there like to guess what type of swim trunks Philip has?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please anybody.
Please do not tell me that's around in a banana hammock.
Nope.
Oh,
I will not sleep tonight if you guys put that vision in my head. I will be traumatized.
As a matter
okay,
of fact.
So what is it he wears?
You know, I got a mute button for you.
You've done it already. So
I'm going to do it again.
Whatever.
I wear my Marine Corps shorts, Bill.
Hey, All right. I don't know.
Those are fancy pants.
Why don't you guys go get scuba pants? You want to go in a shark tank? They're probably just nurse sharks. Those type of sharks, they don't even bother with you. They ain't going to stick you in a tank with a mako. I mean, we got makos right here where I'm at, and we have great whites here this summer. You know, but when they put people in them shark tanks, they're usually pretty much docile sharks. It's really nothing to worry about.
You know, they fit real well and all that. It's just the experience of having them swimming 360 degrees around you as you're going down and all that. It's not like a straight, like on a slide. It kind of curves around a little bit, so you get to be surrounded by them. Just another experience in the life of the Feeling Bill program, you know. You want to go first? Uh-huh. You want me to go first?
You can go first.
You can hold my hand if you want.
I'm truly jealous. You guys need film footage of that. You need to have somebody be filming you guys doing that stuff.
Okay, maybe we'll try to do that.
Just antagonize them all the more.
As we go through the shark tank, it empties into a big, beautiful, heated swimming pool.
Yeah,
so,
it's a big pool.
Yeah, so that's kind of nice. That's Las Vegas, October 3rd, 4th, 5th, or something like that.
Yeah, it's the 4th.
5th, 6th, 7th, 4th, somebody.
It starts Thursday the 3rd, and then
3rd to the 6th.
It ends to the
something like that. Who cares?
Like
Vegas, stay as long as you want. Have a good time.
Yeah.
But in the past, Philip and I have not stayed together at that hotel, but we have so many of our friends there. We're hoping we can get a chance
to... Well, that's the place to stay, because if you go down, all you're going to do if you stay on the Strip, you're just paying for all the... You're paying for the lights.
Oh, yeah, the Bellagio and the...
The service is shitty, and you're paying for the lights.
We're staying in a 10-block area with thousands and thousands and thousands of bikers all within this 10-block area.
The funny part is that all the cops are standing on the corner behind us out in front of the hotel.
Yes, they are indeed.
Yeah, because they're waiting for you to do something.
Yeah.
No, we hold court.
You know, many years ago, you remember Steve Becker? I think I used his name on the air. Steve Becker and I had an AM radio show, and we went to Vegas. We decided to shoot a live radio show from Las Vegas. But because of the time constraints with the radio station, it had to be a morning show, which I really hate.
Yeah, Janine says that we could call it Philip and Bill's Wild Adventure in the Shark Tank. Thanks, Janine.
One time only. But anyway, we were at the Vegas on the Strip, and I was trying to do a live interview with people walking by. All I could get was hookers. The radio station said, "Could you find anybody that wasn't a hooker?" I'm just interviewing people going by. I couldn't find anybody that wanted to get up and talk to me on the radio except for all the hookers. Excuse me, for the escort services, excuse me. We don't use that word hookers anymore. Escort services, okay. So in October, let's hope Phil gets a couple good pictures of that and whether or not we go after the great white, you know.
Yeah.
You keep that small little knife with you. You'll be all right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I fall in, you jump in, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I believe that. Actually, I do believe that, actually.
But, yeah, we're getting down to the end of the show.
We are. It's been a good night. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to have a little whitey. We're going to have a little Everlast.
In the future, let me a little bit of more. Who's my favorite friend in the Midwest?
Charlie Baker?
No, the girl.
Stormy.
Sometimes Stormy went to something new. I haven't heard from her in a while. So next time, give her something like that. Give her a little sound, though. I like her music.
So what I'm going to do is we'll let Everlast take us out with What It's Like, and we'll see everybody on Tuesday.
Good night, everybody. I will see you on Wednesday. Oh, you're not going to tell who the guest is, right?
No.
Okay, hold off. So why'd you tease him and say that?
I know.
God, you're irritating.
Thank you. All right, good night, everybody. See you Tuesday.